めはしない。もう目覚めたから。燃えるときめきは時代を映し、色鮮やかに燃え盛る炎。暗い今は見えなくとも、道しるべは浮かぶ。
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Great Gundam Project. It is episode 25. I am Jackson. I'm joined by Em. As always.
You cannot just step on me like that. That's rude.
Look.
We don't have to introduce ourselves. You can just skip that part.
All right.
I tell you every week.
Yes, you do.
This is a Patreon podcast. Everyone pays for it. They know who we are.
I thought.
They're not going to start listening in the middle of a show. You're Jackson. I'm Em. Everyone knows because you're the British one. It's really easy to tell us apart.
I thought, given that last week you stepped to me and I was like, the alternative is me going, well, fuck this shit. Hello. Welcome to the podcast.
I don't think those are the two. Look, podcasting is a spectrum.
You said when I started hosting that you wanted me to give proper energy, and now you haven't even changed how you try to come at me every week. It's the same thing. This is 3 weeks in a row now.
That's because you keep doing it the exact same thing.
Because that's how I start the podcast. That's not going to change. Oh, Jesus. Have you watched any anime? I know you have.
So I have watched 15 episodes of Samurai Champloo. I was up really early yesterday and didn't have a whole lot going on. Samurai Champloo is, so it was like pitched to me as like, oh, it's the Cowboy Bebop people. I assume it's like, directed by, Shinichiro Watanabe, who is the director of Cowboy Bebop. It is about samurai in the Edo period, which is like I don't know if the plot actually tells you when it is. The Edo period lasts a long time. It's like from 1600s to the late 1800s. Big period. And it's definitely, like, there's like ships and guns. So it's definitely probably towards the back end of that. But it has like a hip-hop influence to it in the music. And like there's like a beatboxing like samurai guy walking around in it in one episode. And I like it.
I'm very excited to watch it. It sounds very good.
So like Cowboy Bebop, most of the episodes are just like standalone adventures with these three people, because it's Mugen, who's like the wild like swordsman who just runs around getting in fights. There's Jean, who's like a wandering Ronin, who's like the taciturn, elegant samurai. And there's Fu, who is the girl, who I guess that's her, like, Faye Valentine was basically the girl of Bebop. It's similar, except she's like the reasonable one in between these two ridiculous boys. They go on adventures, and it's good. Maybe it's the setting. I don't know. It leans really hard into like, sex work and brothels and like sexual violence that is like inherent in the era. I understand, but I think it goes a little too hard into it. Some of the episodes can be a little like, skeezy, not in that it's like super leery. Just, I wish the show was about less like meandering, depressing things. There have been like at least three characters who were sold to a brothel to pay off the debts of their family so far.
All right. Yeah, cool. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And like, whatever. Like, I've read enough literature to know that that's just like a stock character archetype of that era. But, you know, the anime, when the anime is about like an eating contest, it's much better than when it's about that.
Like, yeah, like we knew it was never going to just be Bebop again.
Yes. No, it's no Cowboy Bebop. It will not replace Cowboy Bebop in my heart, but I'm having a good time.
Having a good time. That's good. Yeah, no. I also plan to watch it at some point, but I have not seen any anime this week. Yeah. Anime-less.
I will aim to be done with the show by next time we record.
I mean, at this rate, you will be.
Yeah. So the thing that I've realized is if I'm going to watch anime for this show, I can't just watch like two episodes a week because I'll talk about the same show for 17 weeks.
Well, that's how you gotta like watch two episodes of six different shows.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch like 10 episodes of a show a week outside of Gundam.
You just have to accept that sometimes we don't have things to talk about. It's fine. We're here to talk about Gundam.
So I went and listened back to all of the like Mobile Suit Gundam episodes, and the shows in which we have anime to talk about at the front are better shows overall than the episodes we don't.
Yes, but we also have like 6 different podcasts to record every month and lives.
But so to me, it is like I would like to make it a goal for myself, and I don't always have to keep it. Whatever life comes up, to at least watch some anime every week that's not Gundam.
Yeah, I mean, I have also been watching a lot of anime the last few weeks. Not much this week. But
did you watch anything this week?
No, I just played Metal Gear. So you know,
Metal Gear is the most anime. Well, maybe not this one. The least anime of all.
There's a little bit of anime, and then not really.
Only in the front, and then there's a video game.
It's, we're dealing with the like intrigue between the characters of Seth and Dan. Anime names.
Virgil, right?
Yes. Good luck.
I don't know what that means.
That's a character name. It's the only ridiculous character
right.
name.
Good luck.
Everyone else is just like, it's me, Seth. I'm Dan. I'm Reeves. It's Miranda.
Mr. Good Luck. Captain Good Luck. He's General Good Luck.
General Good Luck. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Dr. Good Luck.
I can walk. All right. That's it, though. Samurai Champloo sounds good. I'm going to watch it at some point. But that's kind of it for that. We're going to talk about Gundam now. Let's play the music because we have only a little bit of time to record in. Episode 7 is called Escape from Side 1. And what happens in Escape from Side 1? Tell me.
All right. These are long today.
Oh,
despite the fact that when I watch these episodes, I'm like, man, nothing happened this week.
A lot happens in 7.
Jared and Lila are not getting along, sniping each other about who is doing the worst at being a foil for our heroes. Jamaican is fed up with both of them, though he's specifically fed up with Jared, who is supposed to be better than this because he's a Titan. Lila compares the Argama and her crew to the White Base and muses that they might be new types, but Jamaica is having none of this because new types are just fake news. Jared confronts Lila later in her quarters, questioning her about new types and saying he doesn't need her protection. There's an uncomfortable moment between the two, as Lila's only in a towel, and maybe they have some chemistry? This does not bode well for either of them. Camille is being made a full AUG pilot, and everyone is interested in just how far he can come with his already impressive abilities. Camille is less sold on this, but Blex reassures him there are plenty of teens who made great soldiers during the 1-year war, and nothing bad ever happened to them. Don't worry about it. When Camille complains about this to Quattro, he agrees with Blex and then mentions that Amara Ray is missing and that the Earth Federation seems to have been keeping him quiet, and that being caught in Earth's gravity is a trap for all living beings. Camille asks Quattro why he became a soldier, and Quattro says that it's the only way he knew how to make a living.
I mean, are we interjecting or are you doing the whole summary?
No, you can interject.
Okay, this scene's hilarious because he's talking to Quattro / Char. And he's
I continue to refer to him as Quattro in the show.
Like so. that is the right choice, but this scene specifically, he does the thing where he's like, Quattro, what would you say about this? And he just starts talking like, you see the souls of the Earthnoids are trapped within the well of the gravity, and then Camille's like, I don't care. What are you talking about? And then the like ability for Camille to look to Quattro for advice and him just like give completely meandering monologues about philosophy while Camille just wants to be told what to do on this spaceship is ridiculous. There is so much Camille being the only normal person in Gundam these two weeks. It's what happens when you're new here.
The Argama is moving through the wreckage of Side 4, and Jamaican isn't sure whether this means they're going to Side 2 or the moon. Lila argues that they should split up, and when Jamaican starts giving out about this, as the woman who's not even the Titan is arguing with him, she takes her men and leaves. Jared catches up with her to ask why she did that, and she says she hates that type of man and hopes that Jared will never become like him. It seems almost like flirting? Jared asks her out when she returns. She accepts. This certainly doesn't mean she is doomed. We've watched Gundam before.
She adds that she is just one day before retirement.
The Argama is approaching Colony 30 inside 1, and Emma, Quattro, and Camille all go into the Baron Colony on foot to see just what the AUG are fighting for. Lila tracks them and lands inside as well, convinces where the AUG base is. Colony 30 is a wasteland of skeletons killed by the gas as they went about their business in the otherwise intact cities inside the colony. Camille questions how this could happen, and Quattro talks about the protests of the Spacenoids against the Earth Federation against their tight grip on the colonies. The Earth Federation treated all protests as a reawakening of the 1-year war conflict, and thus all protesters are just as bad as Zeon. Hence the gas, hence the death.
This is two things. This is an extremely Gundam moment because it's like a really disconcerting sequence as you're like seeing all these skeletons and the actual like lingering on the human like cost of all this death and not just having it happen to characters who are sad and like then fly away. But also what it does is it happens outside a fucking Western saloon as they open the door marked saloon and it's like, oh, look at all these people in this saloon. Oh,
but
they
also
killed
everything else is just like a city. Like there's like a school and like a playground and stuff.
Yes. Like it is the like all of Gundam it compressed into one moment is the tragedy of war of this like massacre of these innocent protesters inside a space city with a Western saloon.
Yes. Emma is shocked by this. Camille wanders off to take it all in. Lila, who's wandering alone as well, spots Camille and holds him at gunpoint, questioning why a child is here with the Ayuk. She takes him hostage when Quattro and Emma show up, and Emma and Lila argue over these revelations about the Titans. Lila isn't having it, though, and calls Quattro a liar, spouting Zeon propaganda. She throws Camille down and races off, abandoning them to escape the colony. Everyone leaves and gets in mobile suits, Camille leading the Ayuk forces at Blex's request. Him and Lila fight, and Lila is stunned that the child she met is the pilot of the Gundam, wondering whether he's been the one who she's been fighting the whole time. If that's true, he must be a new type, and that means that a totally normal pilot like her is totally screwed. It turns out that you don't need to be a psychic to know that, as she is indeed totally screwed, as Camille destroys her gobbledy with one well-placed shot when she gets panicked with Lila.
And what she does is set her final words...
I have a note here. It's not in the summary, but it's good, yes.
Okay, well, are we going to get to that then?
What do you have written down?
Because
I did not quote
She fucking words. Says, is this what it means to be an old type? And I lost it. I lost it. New types is fine. Like, whatever. I'll accept that. But calling everyone else old types, too much. That is a line you have crossed.
As far as I know, old type is a term that will continue, so we might as well get used to it.
Gundam!
So the two things she says before that is she like sends out a wish that Jared does not take Camille lightly because she does not want Jared to get owned. And then she reflects on the fact that the minute she considered Camille a new type, she began to see him differently. And like, maybe this is just the prejudice of those who are not special.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't really know how I feel about the new type stuff in Gundam and in Zeta at this point. I feel like they're approaching it slightly differently than they were in the original show. I should probably watch that movie to see how it they like change.
Yes. So as far as I can tell, being informed by the movie, the ways in which like new types are just humanity in space being sealed off and like in extreme situations has begun to like evolve faster. It's like X-Men, but without the superpowers, right?
Yeah,
but like they're just different enough that people will be afraid of the idea of them more than like the reality.
And I feel like these episodes, both of them, like emphasize the idea that new types come from space, whereas Gundam says that new types come from war, which is two very different things. Like Amuro being in space is not like what makes
him a new
type.
I think the thing that's happened here is because of the way the Earth is, like in the intervening years between Gundam and Zeta, a war is the thing that happens in space, right?
Well, that's interesting because like we went to Earth in Gundam and everyone was like in ruined city, like
yes.
I feel like that is a lot to change in 6 years.
But then
years.
next episode, Quattro is going to be like, I don't want to attack the Earth because we don't want to damage our home, the home of all humanity,
mm-hmm.
Earth.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I will...
Which is a lot different than like the ruins of New York City that the white base is hiding,
yeah,
right?
Like it's a big shift from that because it's not like anyone... Every single person at any single like place except from that one quote-unquote neutral colony in Gundam was in like a place completely ruined by war. There was nothing untouched. So the idea that like space is special in that sense like implies a lot has changed on Earth in 6 years.
Well, I assume in defeating Zeon, the Federation took control of Earth and then like did the like post-World War III Star Trek thing where like Earth is now probably like super cush or like there's a few enough people that they can like beautify it and everyone's in like nice cities and then space is still where they fucking test the Gundams, right?
Yeah, I mean, I assume that's how it's gone, but man, there's not...
Because that's definitely what's being suggested here.
There's not enough people for that. They lost half the people in 6 months and they keep losing more.
My assumption is that losing people is not happening rapidly anymore because there isn't much conflict outside of the Titans sometimes do really horrible things and the AU come up and try to punch them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like 6 years... is not enough time for all this to be normalized and changed as much.
I agree with that part, yes.
Like, it feels like this... They have it 6 years later so you can have all the characters still be there, but the actual political shift feels like it would be more like 10, 20 years.
Yes, I agree with that.
It's more my take on it, because a lot is...
But I assume that is a necessity, given that you want a bunch of Gundam characters in it.
Yes, no, you need Amuro to still be, like... old enough that he can get in a Gundam. Because yes. if he was 40, he would be dead in anime years.
Yes.
We were talking on the Discord about Gundam ages, and it was very weird. Everyone's so much younger than I thought.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize Bright was only 19. I thought he was, like, 24.
Oh. You know what? I would also think that. Mostly because of the way they draw his hairline.
Yes. Oh,
that man does not have the hairline of a 19-year-old. Jesus.
No. But yes.
Anyway, I have one more paragraph here.
Let's go.
Jared had begged Jamaican to send out reinforcements, but Jamaican refused, saying that this is the learning experience for Jared to control his emotions. Jared is clearly not happy about this and cries over his dead, not girlfriend, as Jamaican scolds him for being so emotional. Meanwhile, Camille is being congratulated for his first kill, and Blex even calls him the second coming of Amuro Ray. Camille, for his part, isn't exactly happy he just murdered someone, and says that he'll consider it before accepting Blex's offer to become a full-time pilot.
Yeah, no, he stands around, everyone claps, and they give him the title of Big Amuro.
Yes, and he's like, nah, I don't want to be this.
Yeah.
Like, these two episodes have made me like Camille more than anything that has come since.
I agree. Camille is great. Camille's, because he's just like a, I mean, I'm about to say he's just like a regular boy caught up in all this. And like, yes, but he
no,
did.
No.
But, I mean, that's
he
how
he did see the cosmos at his feet in episode one.
He
also
do that.
Punched like seven cops in
he
a
punched
day.
Punched like seven cops and just ran off because they called him the wrong name or the right name.
Yes.
Sorry, but even dumber. But in these episodes, he's definitely like much more concerned with the practicalities of how much like how bullshit being in space war all the time is, and everyone's yes. just spouting philosophy at him all the time, especially Quattro. And he's like, "No, you don't understand. This doesn't help me like in my day to day moments of how to like be a person." And it's interesting compared to how like Amuro would just shut down completely and do his like work on his toys.
Yes.
I like the two boys. The boys are good. Yep. So I'm sure we are going to have much worse boys in the future. So I'm glad they're fine for now.
Yep.
It is hilarious how much they keep saying, "The Agma, that's just like the white base. Camille, he's just like Amuro. Everything is just like it was in the last show." Ooh.
Yeah, I feel like they laid on thick, but also, you know, it's a show that was coming back after years being off the air. For us, it sucks.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, you wouldn't do this now. It makes it feel very old.
Yes.
The idea that it's special, that everything's happening again. Like, yeah, no, we're back on the show. We know.
Yeah, but also, like, you need to catch people up who might not have seen Gundam, mm-hmm. right?
That's true. You might not have watched those movies. Episode 8 is called Dark Side of the Moon. What happens in Transformers 3?
So I would like to talk about how I do these episodes. I watch them with my partner on the Blu-ray, sitting on our couch in the living room. Then, usually, we do that on Saturday. The next morning, I go and look at the wiki and remember what happened and piece together, like, how I want these to flow. Because I change up, like, the timeline of every event because I don't want to just do beat by beat. Sometimes it's better to, like, parcel off the storylines or whatever. Turns out, the Gundam wiki, which is already a very suspect place, stops having recaps after episode 7. They just have, like, the little blurb about what the episode's about. So I was fucked this morning. So yeah. What I did instead is I loaded up my old subs, my fan subs that I said were terrible, and rewatched Zeta 8. And next time I'm going to try to probably just take notes as I watch the episode the first time.
How bad are those subs?
They refer to Granada as Jabro like twice.
But that's... Oh my god.
Yes.
No wonder
they are factually
like
bad.
Like,
yes.
The whole show is about the politics of the way all this stuff interacts, and it couldn't even get that right.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes, it's bad. Anyway, I watched it today at like 2x speed as I was writing the summary. So the summary has been written under different means. It's how I kind of mostly wrote the Gundam one. So I don't know if that'll make it different for everyone. But I have a lot of text here probably because I was writing as I watched the show. And that's, I don't know. We'll find it. We'll go through
it. I will interject as we go. So
yes,
here we go.
Quattro and Emma come to question Camille about his emotional turmoil, and Emma reveals she's been taken off probation and is now just a member of the crew. She questions Camille in private about his conflict over being a new type and his hesitance to sign up to be a soldier. Camille rejects the idea that he's a new type up and down and tries to leave, but Emma pursues and talks about a time she met Amuro Ray. She was on Earth several years before, and she was traveling through Cheyenne when her car broke down outside of a mansion. There was a young man with a great sadness to him. He seemed tired and purposeful, but with a strange sense of peace. Emma didn't know who he was, but it was then that she resolved to find that sense of purpose, and it drove her to go into space. She realized that man must be Amuro when she found that exact same sense of purpose to the people in the Agma, which is why she's here, because Quattro reminded her of Amuro.
This is a great scene. One, because it's actually great, but first, the hilarious part I want to talk about is the moment where she walks in and she's like, hey, I've been taken off probation. He's like, you can't come in here. You're on probation. There's no cameras in here. You have to be watched all the time. And she's like, I'm off probation. I can come in here. And then the door shuts in Quattro's face. And I'm like, oh, he's clearly going to watch on the hidden cameras that he obviously has in this room. And then like two scenes later, he's immediately watching on the hidden cameras that he has in all the rooms.
Yes. The other great part is that this is like a huge extended walk and talk that starts in Camille's room and then goes to the hallway and then goes into the Gundam hangar as he's getting in the Gundam.
And the implication is that just Quattro's been watching all of this the whole time. Like, haha. And there's a moment where they're like, do you know Shah Aznable? And it zooms in on Quattro's face.
We're going to get there. Okay. We're going to get there. Quattro is listening in on this conversation. I'm surprised when Camille asks, well, if you're looking for that, maybe you should look for Shah aboard the ship instead. And when she says that maybe she will, he says, it looks like you already met Shah then. But when she questions what he meant, he says he said something else and refuses to believe that's what he actually said. Clearly, confusing times for Camille Bidon. So my question is, did he like intuit that Shah is on the ship and that he's met him and accidentally slipped up? Because Camille's whole thing is that he's clearly a new type, but doesn't believe it and like actively rejects the moments that it comes up. And is this just his new type powers like slipping out despite him?
I don't know. I don't understand. Like I didn't really get this scene, what it was like exactly playing for, because our subs are like better than obviously the ones you had, but they're not perfect. And I can't tell if that was an intentional, like Camille has figured out what's going on, but doesn't want to like actually talk about it. Or
my assumption is that Camille might gut know that it Shah is Quattro, but not actually know. And because that he's like, oh, maybe that's like my new type intuition. I can't trust it. It's bad and evil. And I have to like suppress it.
And to be fair, every single scene with Camille and Quattro is Quattro coming up and going, man, you should have met Shah.
Yes.
So I understand where his gut feeling is coming from.
Mm-hmm. They're being interrupted by the Titans, being led by Jared, finally taking action against the Argama now that Lila softened them up for them. Jared has changed, fighting for Lila's Marimari and calling upon her to protect him. Camille launches to head after Jared, with Quattro lagging behind, and the two rivals clash once again. Jared yells at Camille for killing someone he cares about, but Camille isn't having it since everyone, including him, has lost people close to them, and Jared is not special. Jared has experience fighting on the moon, and thus is nearly evenly matched with Camille's preternatural skill, but right as he's about to win against Camille, Quattro shows up and fires at Jared, driving him off. This is great to me because Jared is like, comes in and is like, I am calm now. I understand what's going on. And then the minute he fails to finish off, Camille is like crying and punching his console.
I mean, he actually did it. Like, he wasn't beaten by Camille. He won, and then Quattro shows up to own him.
Yes.
This show expects you to care about Jared. Which is hilarious.
So I don't. The thing about Jared is, I think the show knows Jared sucks, but it gives you the glimpse that maybe Jared could have been somewhat better if he did not grow up like raised by Nazis and with the one person who cared about him murdered last episode.
Well, that's the thing is that like over the last few episodes, you've always been caring more about Lila than you have about Jared because Lila's the only one who knows about what's going on in terms of any yes. kind of like actual sense. So of course she has to die, and you have to be stuck with this annoying Nazi child who is like, "I want to rule the Titans one day," and you're like, "Shut up, Jared." Yep. Like, I don't know, it's interesting because I don't understand why Jared is the focal character on the Titans.
I mean,
side.
He's Camille's foil, right?
I guess. Like yes.
Like otherwise it's just Jamaican running around being a dickhead. Like who no one wants that.
Well, I just assumed Lila was gonna stick around and be the foil, but of course she had yeah. to die in the like
but
sad
you,
girlfriend
like with
death.
Jared, you have a character who's like because of Lila's death, he's like he found his like one focal purpose, and Camille is at a point where like Camille is like the most confused that a person could be about being in a Gundam show, right? Where he's like, I don't even want a pilot, like this sucks. Yeah. And I like that contrast. Like, Jared works to flush out Camille by contrast more than anything.
I agree. Like, I don't think that it's a bad, like, thing in a thematic sense. I just think that having Jared be the focal character in all of the Titan stuff makes that stuff less, like, interesting. Now they've yes. got rid of all the, like, sympathetic characters and had them all defect. Because now you don't have yep. anyone on the Federation side for now. Like, until they bring in some more characters, which they will do, who you actually, like, sympathize with and think that they are, like, worth bringing to a more full view of the situation.
Yeah. Like I don't look at Jared and see someone who's actually sympathetic. I just think it's interesting that he has had things that have, like, changed his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're not wrong. But, yeah, it's interesting. Zeta, it's a good show.
Back on the Argama, the Gundam is heavily damaged, and Quattro asks after the Gallbody pilot. Camille names him, and Quattro mentions that he's being driven by revenge for Lila, leaving Camille surprised that Quattro could intuit the situation, despite mostly it having nothing to do with him. Quattro warns Camille to be careful, and Camille still doesn't have the experience or confidence to take on Jared.
Ah, yep. And everyone goes home.
So here's my question. I feel like the end of Mobile Suit Gundam implied that Char is not a new type. And yet I feel like this show is very leaning heavily into the fact that Quattro is definitely a new type.
What? No. What?
The whole thing at the end of that show is that he gets in the new type robot and can't pilot it because he doesn't have the powers.
Yeah, but then afterwards, Sailor goes up to Char and goes, Char, but you're a new type. And he's like, yes, that is true. Like, I just assume that Char's a new type. He's just not as good as Amuro.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, Sailor goes up to him and says he's a new type. That happens in Gundam. That is a line that occurs.
Sailor says a lot of things in Gundam that I might not necessarily agree with, though.
It is the climax of the show. And I'm not going to say that's a lie until it is proven otherwise. I feel
that's fair. That's fair. I just feel like it's weird that the show has changed course so much.
I mean,
considering the whole point was that he got in that robot assuming that he had the new type ability and he did not to pilot it. Like, maybe, it's been 7 years. Maybe he's grown a lot as a person. It's just weird. It's interesting to me, having just listened back to all of our talk about Mobile Suit Gundam.
My take on Char's new typeness is that he has it and like has that possibility, but he's too much of like a fancy lad who's lived really well to actually tap into any kind of like sense of the universe. Because he's still like a prince.
Yeah, I guess my like increasing question is, does everyone have the capacity to become a new type, or is it like just a certain parts of this generation do?
I don't know where they're going to go with that. I assume it is because they're leaning into it being a thing that like comes from the trauma of being like in this awful situation in this terrible space war.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like the end of Mobile Suit Gundam made it pretty clear that anyone could just be a new type, as everyone talked to Amuro. Like, that is how that show ended, but Zeta's taking it in like kind of different direction that I don't really know what it is yet.
If the answer is that some people are born new types and some people will always be old types, I think that's a really bad way to underpin this show.
What I'm saying is midichlorians.
Yeah, exactly. Don't make this midichlorians, please, for the love of God.
Yes.
I guess the answer exists. No one can make it anything. It's existed for 20 years. We'll find it eventually.
It has to. There's so much, there's so much Gundam to go.
The Argama docks at its base in Amon, nearby to the Federation base at Granada. Everyone disembarks, and Quattro immediately goes to meet with one of his old contacts, refuses to call him anything but Char Aznabel, and brings him long-range scanner reports of nuclear pulses picked up in space. Quattro identifies them as belonging to Axis, which he claims is the ghost of Zeon coming for Earth. He also talks about someone named Haman Khan, who must be about 20 now. No idea who this is, but I'm sure we'll find out eventually. He then takes a call to meet a Mr. Wong Lee in the not-at-all-litigious burger restaurant McDaniel's the next day.
With the big sign, like, you hear McDaniel's and you're like, what is this? And then he goes in and it's like a fancy restaurant that says lavatory at the back?
Yes, no, it's a burger restaurant with a clown out front and then a back room with posters that say things like hot dog and coffee. What? Who goes anywhere and orders a hot dog and coffee? Who is this monster?
Oh, Gundam!
Anyway. Jared is thrown in the brig for his insubordination and rushing off to attack Gundam. Krakakon takes over the Titan unit and asks permission to avenge Lila for Jared, with a promise that if he needs Jared for backup, he'll be the first to know.
Yes.
So I had to look up Krakakon because I forgot that dude's name. And on the wiki, it says he's like 24. This guy looks like he's 45.
Wait, that the dude in the who goes out after them?
Yes, the like the fucking ridiculous like Jack Nicholson ass looking motherfucker.
Anime needs to stop. He's not 24. He's not 24. He's just not, okay? Next you tell me that like Jamaican's in his 20s. God.
Quattro goes to his meeting in the back room of the McDaniels, meeting with a Mr. Wong, so a businessman who wants the AU to head to Earth to attack Jaburo. Quattro isn't a big fan of that idea, both not wanting to damage the Earth in this war between people, and also knowing that getting off the planet will be very difficult, if not impossible, once they get there. He'd rather attack Grips, of course, being the Titan base. Alas, Mr. Wong apparently has the final call, and thinks striking a blow to the base of the Earth Federation will accomplish more than wiping out a single Titan installation, and thus they're going. They're to land, turn over all the mobile suits to the Earth Resistance Unit named Karaba, and then they'll be sent back into space. Quattro doesn't really believe it'd be as easy as all that, but he's a soldier, so he'll make it work as best as possible.
Yep.
It's interesting to me because this is the first time we're introduced to like the money behind stuff. Like Mr. Wong is like
he's an investor. Like,
yeah, he's like an investor. I assume he runs some corporation that like builds stuff for them or whatever, right? Like, the people, like, I always, one of the things I knew about Gundam going in is that it's like, oh, these mobile suits are designed by X and Y Corporation or whatever. And like, that's part of the fandom of Gundam, but none of that has shown up in this show yet.
Yes. No, this is the first, like, look at the fact that these have to be funded by someone. Because Gundam, yes, the original show just plays it as they are developed, but like, the Federation developed these and Zeon developed these. And the idea of anything more than that is kind of like not relevant in the fact that everyone is so beaten down by this like huge oppressive war. And so stepping out of that into a world where you can have investors, you can have like people trying to play politics in wherever this goes, because it's not actually an all-consuming war with two sides. Like, everyone's navigating this complicated space.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Em and Camille drive out along the moon, looking at the ruins of a colony that litter the lunar landscape, a mountain of metal off in the distance. It's here that they are waylaid by Kakar Khan and his men, laying in wait to shoot down Em and Camille. Everyone gets into a firefight, and Em and Kakar Khan argue over what the Titans are all about. Camille finds a Harrow robot in the wreckage of the colony and takes it with him as he and Emma retreat from the battle and drive back to base, the Titans no longer in pursuit as we reach the end.
They find a Harrow!
They find a Harrow. I assume it's a Harrow and not the Harrow.
That's what I assume as well. Like, Amuro still probably has the Harrow.
Yes.
But I don't know. Maybe he's selling them. Making Harrows on Earth while he's trapped.
He's got to live in that mansion somehow. Yeah. So the question becomes, did Amuro become like a toy magnet making a bunch of like ridiculous ball robots? Or is this his like money? Like, the Earth Federation set him up real nice to never ever speak to anyone again about being the hero of the war.
I mean, the line of in the show says that he is living off his parents' inheritance. That is why he has this ridiculous mansion. And basically,
his parents and his dad live, like, his mom doesn't matter, and his dad lived in a like a junkyard after he had brain damage. His only inheritance is that he's the guy who designed the Gundam. So to me, that implies that the government just gave him a bunch of money to fucking fuck off forever.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was getting at, is that like, he is the son of the Gundam guy, so he's important, but they don't want him fucking up the war, and definitely they don't want him getting involved, so he's not allowed to go into space. And so he just sits looking at the stars every day while his butler looks on him.
Also, especially like, given that Jamaica in the episode before was like, new types are a fake. That's not a thing. That's just the media being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you know, Amuro Ray both is a new type and believes a lot in the idea of new types, given he's fucking Amuro Ray.
He's Amuro Ray. Exactly. Yeah. No, the new types being a real thing that are like exist and are on both sides to be understood at the end of Gundam. And now like Earth is trying to suppress all knowledge of them. And just say, no, actually being on Earth is good and you're all wrong. I need to watch the show. The show is much more like there are things in the air than Gundam was.
Yes, for sure.
I can't, there's so many things I can't, feel like I can't talk about because the answer is, I don't know what they're doing with
this. Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I don't really know the answers to a lot of the questions I am posing right now. So it's not like I'm like leading you along. This is just me thinking about these episodes.
Yeah, no. And that's what a lot of this podcast is going to be, is we get closer and more of the shows have things in the air like this that will presumably be answered in some way by the finale of either this show or the next show.
Though my big question is, if Amuro Ray is taking some money from the fucking Earth Federation to sit at home and like twiddle his thumbs, what the fuck, Amuro?
I mean, we did know that certain people did not like Amuro.
Yes, I know.
So I guess this is why, because I was like, man, you're sitting at home in this mansion all day, what are you doing?
There's like a war going on, like they're out there being fascists in space.
He doesn't have a Gundam, he can't leave.
I mean, that's true. Like, there's also the functional fact of getting out into space is like a thing unless you're with the government. Is like, Quattro is worried that if they go to Earth, they're not going to be able to come back.
Yeah, like, so getting from Earth into space is a big deal. They talk about the gravity well a lot in a way that like is much more important than it was in Mobile Suit Gundam, because they were just had ships on Earth.
Yes. Yes, literally Char and the White Base both get into space like in a montage. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yes. So someone has to come rescue Amuro at some point. I need him to actually be in the show.
Well,
I know he's in the opening, so clearly he matters, but I don't know how much he's actually going to matter.
I would recommend do not look too closely at the episode titles on the next disc of the Blu-ray.
Why?
Because one of them is like, Amuro flies again.
Good. I mean, I don't. Luckily, the Blu-ray doesn't have episode titles. It just has numbers for me.
The last. Really?
Yeah. The Mobile Suit.
Oh, my Blu-ray. When I go to the Blu-ray, like I assume they're a different distributor then, because when I go to episodes, it's just a list of episode titles.
That's what it was for the original discs, original show for me. But this is just 01, 02. Right. The reason being because it has the French titles first.
Oh, right. Yes.
It just has to have numbers.
Yeah, it's episode 14, I think, so it'll be a couple weeks.
Oh, it's so long away. I need Amaro to fly again. We're going to meet Kai at some point. Where's Kai? He's also in the opening.
So I know what Kai's doing. That's the one person I remember clearly what they're doing.
Of course it is. He's fucking Kai. Why wouldn't you? He's the one I'm most excited to meet. I want Bright to get back involved again, and I want Kai to find out what's going on with him.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for all that. So I think that's it for Gundam. This episode like ends on a real down note. Like, it's clearly just we're gonna punt to next episode.
Yes, I mean, so most of the episodes have been like a lot of two episode arcs that have been really clearly so far. This is clearly one of them, but they had a one episode thing in the middle, so now we're leaving off in the middle point.
Yep.
It'll be fine. Whatever. We'll deal with it.
Yeah, whatever. This is the part of watching anime two episodes at a time.
Yep. This is all... We have 50 episodes, right? We're not going to do a 3-1 this time.
Yeah, no, there's no 3. Just 50 episodes.
Hell yeah. All right.
25 weeks of Gundam.
So much Gundam. Well, that's going to do it for Gundam this week. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. Have a good time. See the tears of time.
We are going to see the tears of time.
I'm not afraid to